This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. For Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
This is where I should have had my Duolingo ready and done the intro in German.
Well, you still have time to brush up on your Irish.
We should have had Davey stick around for this one.
Yeah,
a little German to us.
He's a German speaker. Yes,
that is right. We are here for Rewind to Raw. Welcome everyone here on the YouTube channel. We just got through all of the news of the day, going through the Drew McIntyre title change on SmackDown. The latest on Masakatsu Funaki, who is recovering after a scary bump over the weekend. Netflix flexing its muscle over stats. For WWE, their favorite hobby. The Golden Globe Awards, a full breakdown, all the winners, all the losers, who was on Waze, bingo card, who, what did we think of Nikki Glaser's monologue, all broken down there from Sunday night.
Yes, of course, yes, yes.
Plus a rundown of Noah, Legacy Rise, and all the latest that is coming up this week, including a wrestling marriage that we discussed on top of that. So that is all found on the XL version of Rewind to Raw. Also dropping today, we have the best and worst of 2025, which is up early for members of the Post Wrestling Cafe. 3.5 hours with the Poison Ranas, Braden Harrington and Davey Portman joining Way and I in person. I can't remember the last time all four of us did a show together in one room together, but we did it today, and that show is up early for all cafe members. It will be out later this week on the free feed, but going through 21 different categories, plus our predictions from last year and making a new list for 2026.
Yeah. What did John pick for best wrestler, best tag team, best storyline, best on the mic, worst on the mic, best wrestling tie-in, best entrance, best TV episode, worst pay-per-view, best promotion, best match of the year, worst match of the year. All categories that featured plenty of discussion. Were there any surprises from our conversation this afternoon?
I thought I was the only one who was going to recall Butterbean and Minoru Suzuki, but you did beat me to the punch on that one. You had a pretty thorough list. Yeah, you,
thank
you scooped me on a few.
Well, I mean, that was a match so bad. Yeah, it deserved like writing in my notepad like in April of the past year. So it was a great conversation that like refreshed me on a lot of the great stuff and also a lot of the bad stuff from 2025.
Yes. And as we look ahead to this week, first of all, Wei, I spent a lot of time on my graphic this week. This was my Young Lion Cup. Okay. This was what this graphic was to me.
I mean, this is beyond my expectations, and I thought you not only chose a great selection of photos here to use, you I thought you like collaged everything and positioned everything in really, really great ways. It looks great, John. You did a fantastic job.
Way standards for me are very low, but when I can exceed them, I'll pat myself on the back.
It looks great. Great composition. Very good.
Well, this week, it's going to be a busy one. Tuesday, for patrons, we're dropping the January edition of Post Pro Res. It's time to hear Karen and WH debrief. They're going to go through the Tokyo Sports Awards, their final thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom 20, and the year ahead for many of the big companies. It's a XL-sized Post Pro Res coming your way Tuesday morning on the cafe. And then we're going to be releasing the Best and Worst of show later this week on Thursday. But we're back Thursday night for a bonus show. Wei and I are getting together, and we will talk TNA for their debut of Thursday Night Impact on AMC. So it'll be a late one Thursday, as they're moving the show to 9 p.m., but we will be doing a review of that debut. We've got Genesis Saturday night. I'll be joined by Jack Wannon for that one. And then Collision Course Saturday with Kate from Montreal and Bruce Lord. All leads to Sunday night, the NWA podcast, their first edition of 2026. What better way to officially kick off the year than the NWA podcast this Sunday night?
Always a lot to talk about and catch up with those guys. So I'm looking forward to their show. Whenever you finish our very lengthy 3-hour podcast that we just did, maybe you can get all set for what will surely be a 3-hour plus edition of the NWA podcast.
And I do want to remind people that come February the 1st, we are going to be introducing our price increase for the regular tier at the Post Wrestling Cafe. We have not done any price increase since the launch of this site in 2017. And this is one we're just trying to basically keep up with the market. And a lot of this, it's going right into the site. So we are giving people fair warning that it is.
Your cut is going right into the site. I'm taking mine to the bank. I'm going to.
Way's putting it all in the predictions market.
Buy new, yeah,
but this will be affecting the regular tier February 1st. However, if you sign up before February 1st, you will be locked into that price for the entire year. If you are going month by month, as long as you sign up before February 1st, you'll have the old price throughout 2026. You can also do an annual plan. You get a further savings throughout the year if you go the annual route that you'll be locked in for the full year before 2027.
And a further discount for people who subscribe annually as well. So like 10%, I believe, on top of all of that as well. So a price increase is just sort of like something to be expected with any sort of subscription service. We somehow delayed ours for the past 8 years. I think we just didn't pay attention enough to inflation. Honestly, we probably should have. But there's also a lot of risk involved in announcing price increases, especially when you're dealing with, a very small business like ours. So we're very hesitant about it. But I think we've come up with a good compromise in offering this like year-long delay for people that are currently subscribed. If you want to basically delay our price increase by a whole 12 months. Well, sign up throughout the month of January and make sure you do it before February 1st.
All right. With all of that out of the way, we have the German edition of Raw, which went down Monday afternoon at the PSD Bank Dome. 11,489 tickets distributed, according to WrestleTix, and taking place from Dusseldorf. So Io Sky, Rhea Ripley come out to begin the show and put over their tag title win, putting the Kabuki Warriors in their place last week and teaching them respect. They get interrupted first by Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez, who want the first title challenge against the new champions. Liv pointing out she never lost her title and wants her titles back. Bayley and Lyra are next out, and the crowd is pretty hot for Bayley, singing for her. And she points out, having just beaten Roxanne Perez, they want the next title shot. So Io puts Rhea aside and says, "Cleaner, I got this." And she cuts a promo on all the women in Japanese. And then the Kabuki Warriors appear, pulling the champs to the floor, and a big brawl ensues. And this would set up a 3-way number one contenders match for later in the show, with the winners set to challenge Rhea and Io at Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, I mean, a very by the numbers, you could have had AI write this sort of segment to set up your next set of challengers. I thought it was perfectly fine, especially like when you're in a new market where I think just simply seeing these names will elicit big reactions from people. But for somebody who's watching week to week, I mean, there's hardly any creativity really put into this. I think each team somehow managed to make their case, and I thought each case had varying degrees of legitimacy attached to it. But in a setting like this, there really is no hierarchy here. If you can come up with some semblance of credibility for your excuse, you're on equal footing with everybody, including the people who just lost the tag team championships. So whatever. It was a perfectly fine thing to set up the match later.
I mean, between these three teams, Lash and Nia and Charlotte and Alexa, I mean, this tag division should just run itself for the next like 6 months.
Yeah, sure. It can. They're certainly putting a lot of effort in building that up. Yeah.
Jackie is in the back with AJ Styles, who will have his match with Gunther later tonight. And he explains this business is about respect. And he wasn't always on the same page with John Cena, but the two men bonded over respect. And Gunther has disrespected John. So I'm going to teach you about respect. And Gunther, I'm going to make you tap out like a little bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a tap like a little bitch match tonight.
Yep. I mean, setting up a very similar story to what Gunther set up for John Cena. And I thought, AJ sounded really good here. More serious and more intense than usual. And Angry Allen. We'll be seeing a lot of AJ this week.
That's right. He's going to be on the show on Thursday night, which it's worth mentioning on the TNA site. They are no longer listing Leon Slater against Myron Reed that had been promoted for the X Division title on Thursday. So that was built up like the winner of that would then face Moose and Cedric Alexander at Genesis. So remains to be seen, but they are not advertising that on the site any longer.
Plans change.
I mean, you could end up seeing Leon Slater on, you know, if WWE wanted him. I mean, that kind of tells you a lot right there. If we see him, you know, pulled from a TNA show. Liv and Perez are backstage as Finn Balor is playing 2K. And Liv is playing like the old veteran who lectures him about playing video games. This was pretty much Ric Flair and Carlito.
I thought he was kind of playing Finn's mom here. He's like, mom, catching like, you know, like a
mom.
Teenage. Yeah. They're like, I guess like Finn would be like your son playing his Nintendo Switch that he just saved up all his money to buy.
Well, Liv lectures him and says, you're just sitting back and waiting. And Balor tells her to just watch. Watch what I've got planned. So our booker here, Finn Balor, he was thinking a few steps ahead.
I thought this show wasn't very too kind to 2K. I mean, you know, like what a ring endorsement. But
like, hey, what a waste of time.
Yeah. What are you doing sitting there playing this game and not achieving anything in your life is basically how this was positioned tonight.
Is it cool or uncool that he was playing as himself? Against Cody.
For a heel, I think it's perfectly fine.
Okay, it works. Yeah. Javon Evans taking on Bravo Americano. They didn't even bother to show his contract signing that you might have missed last week. But he's on Raw. Just deal with it. Ryo distracts as Grande strikes him from the apron. So Evans has to eventually make a comeback with a big dive, the flying knee. And then Bravo does the no-hands airplane spin. And Cole is starting to... Hey, we haven't seen that since, I'm like, what? Claudio? I associate this more with Claudio than I did Tyler Bate, but.
Wade did call it Nino Grande Fuerte, which means big, strong boy.
Apparently. There's a one-man Spanish fly by Evans into the OG cutter. Big pop for the finish. And then Grande and the crew go after Javon, who is hidden behind, or he's standing behind the desk, leaps over them and runs away from Los Americanos. Don't know if I would have had this guy running away from these geeks, but that was our segment.
Yeah, so. 3-on-1. I mean, I don't think it made him look so bad at all. Especially since like he teased some sort of team up later on with the other luchador. So maybe that's the direction that we're seeing Javon Evans head in. But I thought it was for his first actual match on Raw, like after the signing, I thought it was a good showcase for him. Went a pretty good length and provided a pretty good sampling of his spectacular physical ability. I almost thought it was slightly risky putting him out here next opposing Kaiser's faction in Germany. And there were light Ludwig Kaiser chants, but I mean, you're hardly hearing these crowds like cheer that loudly for these heels these days, especially against somebody as, you know, likable as Javon Evans.
There's no sign of Bron Breakker, and Adam Pearce warns Paul Heyman that if he shows up, to send Bron Breakker home, if he is coming here with bad intentions after the loss to CM Punk. I'm pretty sure this was just in the commercial break. It was in the commercial break. Jey Uso comes out in the crowd, no Jimmy, and just puts over the Usos as the best tag team. And that was it.
This should have been like a commercial break. Like last week's segment was exactly like this sort of loose and this sort of like unsubstantial in nature, right? It's just him coming out with the championships, reminding you that he's a champion and really not setting up anything.
Nothing. Yet,
last week actually made air, and instead we didn't get the Javon Evans signing, which was far more important. This week, at least, they thought better to put it into a commercial break.
Yeah, well, there you go. You got Jey Uso as advertised. CM Punk comes out, and he calls it a privilege to be your champion. He wants to be the champion forever. And when I have you guys behind me, I feel I can do the impossible. It's like, this is the most un-CM Punk-like promo. He's a fighting champion, and the road to WrestleMania goes through him. And he looks forward to seeing who his next challenger is. And he's ready to just leave. This was it. He was coming out for his own Jey Uso promo. But instead, he is interrupted by Finn Balor, who has put down the games and come out. And this is kind of funny because Balor's doing the long walk and we cut to Punk, who's looking at his watch like he was a Tanahashi waiting for Naito at the dome.
Well, maybe in Japan they teach slow long walks.
So Balor explains, I'm not waiting for the Royal Rumble or the Elimination Chamber. You named me as someone you wanted to face, so here I am. Punk says, you're right, I did name you, but that was 2 months ago. Where's your ambition? You're too busy playing games and shining Liv's shoes, and now you just want to pick the bones after my fight last week. And Punk asks, if I face you, am I facing Finn Balor, or am I facing Finn Balor and the Judgment Day? And I'm a fan of you, and says, you know what? We can do this tonight. And Balor says, you know what? Timing is everything, and the line starts here. You're not going to have to worry about Judgment Day. I've seen you take home field advantage for years in Chicago, and it just so happens that Raw is in Belfast next week, and it's Punk versus the Prince. And Punk apologizes to Belfast in advance that he's going to put his home countrymen to sleep. I'm glad that this is happening next week. I like this. This is like when Punk had to face MJF in Long Island. And like this guy is going to basically be playing heel next week, I would think.
Yeah, you would think. Although I mean, much like with Javon Evans versus a Ludwig Kaiser's faction here, like I don't think you're gonna get a crowd that'll turn on Punk. But maybe Ireland's a different type of crowd. No,
I think it's gonna be pretty pro Balor next week.
Perhaps, but Punk is also like he's such a star, and I think people over there will be so starved to see Punk that I really do wonder.
At worst, it's gonna be mixed.
Yeah, maybe. There are also things that Balor could do to perhaps turn himself on Belfast in particular. This is no Bray County. I don't know. I don't know what somebody would do. I don't know what Balor would do to turn himself heel in Belfast. But maybe they'll just kind of let the crowd play it out by themselves, and it could be a double babyface thing. But I'm also curious to see which the reaction will be very interesting. You know, for me, I mean, you know, Balor is the type of like upper mid carder, I would say, that can easily be a main eventer under the right circumstance. And obviously, you know, a show in Belfast in Ireland is that right circumstance. And I'm very much looking forward to the match itself and the crowd reaction. I also wonder if, like, you know, I listened to Balor's interview with Cody, and he was actually very upfront about not being so satisfied with the way the demon gimmick has sort of like been framed in since he's come to the WWE. He talks about how when it was something he started in New Japan, he just thought of it as like war paint, you know, in that there wasn't necessarily a distinct personality behind the paint. And he says like once he came to the WWE and they had to
kind of Demogorgon.
Well, jump through hoops to kind of turn it into a character. It, well, number one, I get the sense he thinks it became a little too convoluted. And secondly, it kind of like buried his normal self because, you know, he'd be positioned to basically not as great of a competitor unless he was the demon. So he seemed to like, have some sort of regrets about the way that's been positioned. And therefore, because he's been so upfront about it, I wonder if like you might just someday just get the demon paint unannounced in the right setting, and maybe next week could be the right setting, you know, like, I mean, at this point, maybe they would have to reintroduce it to the audience in a different way for them to just recognize that it's war paint. But I mean, if there's a time, you know, in the next few years where you could really see him getting that sort of big babyface reaction where you'd be able to justify like, hey, here's a really cool entrance for Balor under the paint, it would be next week.
What if Punk does it next week?
Even better. Yes, great idea. Then he'd totally get cheered.
Hey, the big question, will this get Neil to go to Raw next week?
I'll say he doesn't live in, I mean, I don't know how far Belfast is from him.
This is close enough that he told me he was not going beforehand, but we'll see.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. Yeah. I doubt it. Hmm. This was a good setup for the match next week. I think you're going to get a great, like, atmosphere next week at the very least for, and this should be a pretty great match as well. Mm-hmm. Throughout the month of January, you have the chance to lock in your subscription at the Post Wrestling Cafe for all of 2026 before the price increase takes effect February the 1st. Simply sign up before February 1st and you will lock in that price all year long. If that's not enough, this month we have the annual Best and Worst Of show as we get together with the Poison Rana crew to look back at 2025. We're also doing live watch-alongs of the Royal Rumbles from 1990 and 1995 with Brandon from New Jersey, a retrospective on the Tanahashi-Okada rivalry, plus reaction to Wrestle Kingdom 20, a review of TNA's debut on AMC, and much more, including TNA Genesis, UFC 324. It's all found at postwrestlingcafe.com. The Kabuki Warriors against Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez, Bayley, and Lyra Valkyria. So crowd continues to sing for Bayley. They brawled on the floor, and Sane hits an insane elbow. There's a Tower of Doom to all of the women. Asuka's hitting Germans all over the place. And then Sane hits another insane elbow, this time on Lyra, but she's not the legal woman. And she goes, Roxanne goes for a tilt-a-whirl head scissors and just smashes Asuka's head into the mat that Wade described as ugly. So Pop rocks onto Bayley, save gets made, and then Sane sends Perez to the floor as Liv blind tags in, and then as Sane turns around, is hit with Oblivion and is pinned in 13 minutes, setting up Liv and Roxanne challenging Rhea and Io in Montreal for Saturday night's main event.
Mm-hmm. As far as the match type goes, this was like a triple threat tag team match, meaning three people were in the ring at once. And I mean, to my recollection, that felt a little unusual to me. And I thought I would like it because triple threats typically offer a lot more like action. But in this case, I just found things maybe a little too chaotic, and I really didn't find
for a
myself
lot of the time. It was like all six were in this. Like they were,
yeah,
they were doing the deal of like who's the legal person. But I mean, it was impossible to keep track because it was just like a tornado tag for most of it.
Yeah, I didn't find myself connecting with it as much as I thought I would have. But yeah, maybe it was just me.
There's a video of Becky Lynch reacting to Maxine getting a rematch so quickly, despite there being no controversy in her match last week, as they show her grabbing the rope. And there's a double standard because of how long she had to wait for her rematch. She will prove she's the greatest wrestler in her home country next week, and Maxine can say goodbye to the big time. So you've got Finn Balor and Becky Lynch in Ireland next week in big matches.
Yeah, I could see Punk maybe getting at least a 50-50 reaction, or maybe even somehow getting cheered over Balor. Maybe. There is no chance I see Maxine getting any sort of like babyface reaction next to Becky Lynch. Unless Becky cuts like the greatest heel promo of all heel promos in Ireland, which is entirely possible under her current gimmick.
Northern Ireland too, yes. We could get very political next week, maybe.
Are they in Northern Ireland?
They're in Northern Ireland next week.
I see, okay,
in Belfast.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know if they would necessarily go there.
Probably not.
Maybe not, but yeah, I think Becky's been doing just tremendous work. I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily think this Maxine feud has been the best use of her throughout the past year, but I think like she's been doing great work online and also, on the show on playing this current gimmick.
And then Jackie interviews Maxine, who's with Otis and Tozawa, and she says, "I'm not crying about my loss to Becky. She finally has learned she belongs, and I believe in myself, just like you and Tozawa," referring to Otis and Tozawa, "need to do the same. And it was a setback. This is not a defeat, but Becky, you had to cheat to beat me. And I'm going to break your ankle next week."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel this woman is like cutting these heel promos, but she is a babyface. I'm really getting a heel vibe from her. Even though I don't think that's the
really?
Intention. Yes.
Why?
It's just her delivery to me that this could so easily be a heel.
I think it's just like little kid trying to play tough guy. You know, isn't that sort of like the character?
That's
like
a heel. No one can stand those kids.
Well, next week I could.
Well,
see
she's going to be the heel next
reactions.
Week. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're running this back at least one more time. I thought they'd be done with it, but they're doing it one more time just to kind of maybe squeeze that maybe one more great big, like, you know, Becky reaction and win. But I'm also curious to see, like, if she comes out of the match next week with any sort of difference in character or just, like, if she's able to springboard to her next storyline through what is very likely to be another loss to Becky Lynch next week. We still await Natalia in her appearance on the show.
I'm not familiar with this person. Who?
Oh, sorry. Natty.
Natty. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Michael Cole brings out Raquel Rodriguez. This is at the entrance, and he was stunned to see her attack Stephanie Vaquerre last week. It's like, stunned? She said, "I smiled when I was told to, and I waited my turn, but I've been cheated time after time, and I won't stop until I get Stephanie Vaquerre in the ring." So out comes Stephanie Vaquerre in her walking boot as the producers are trying to stop her, and she says, "Come get it." And Raquel came and got it because she mauled Stephanie, smashed the boot into the floor, and then whips the belt on top of her and actually broke the physical title belt that she revealed later after the fact here. So, I mean, not the smartest plan if you're shooting for a title match and you're just going to like send this woman like into the emergency room with the further damage to this ankle. But I guess this is her strategy. She's playing the long game.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, maybe it'll backfire on her, and they'll just, you know, she's out for a year, and you know, you're kind of, the title is now vacated. I'm not sure. I think the physicality she's been showing in these beatdowns has been really strong. The promo still needs a little bit of work, but I think like she's living up to feeling like a very strong heel in these sort of beatdowns.
They showed footage of Drew showing up at Glasgow over the weekend for the WWE show, and that he will appear on SmackDown this Friday. Jay is on the phone with Jimmy. I mean, just some tremendous usage of Jay on this show. And Otis and Tozawa walk in, and they want a title shot after Jay said, "We're putting the tag division on notice." Jay laughs them off. They're like, "Oh, we didn't mean you. We're boys." And Otis gets serious. He says, "We mean it." And Jay's like, "Oh, you do mean it." And he gives them a warning. "We are the best tag team in the game." So will this ever be referenced again? Or do we file this under Otis's challenge to Gunther?
Well, since this took place on actual TV and not during a Netflix commercial break, I would assume that they're actually going to do this match.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, like, do we know when Naomi might be due?
I mean, she's been out since when? Like, she's only been out like a couple of months.
She would have been. She was pregnant prior to being out. And anyway, so I'm just speculating whether or not, like, you know, part of the reason why he's not traveling is, for that reason. But we are going to get this match.
He might have just been on the other tour. Because they are running all these international shows. But I don't know off the top of my head. Bronson Reed and Austin Theory are against Dragon Lee and Penta. And in the lead up to this, Michael Cole talks about the adversity that Reed and Theory have had to overcome, mentioning Reed got fired by WWE and had to fight back through a tough time to come back here. Yeah, where New Japan booked this guy like a monster in the G1. And then mentions Theory having his own setbacks. Like, yeah, not getting over in big high-profile pushes time after time after time. Yeah, this is I'm shedding a tear from my glass eye. This is also Penta's first match since the shoulder injury in November, and we get off to a great start as there is this horrific head scissors that Bronson, it barely sends Reed anywhere, but Reed sells it and has to run himself into the corner and just looked so ludicrous. He then slams Dragon Lee onto the mat, and the crowd is singing for Roman Reigns. They get the advantage on Lee throughout the break. And Michael Cole points out all the criticism of Logan Paul being a part-timer. Well, Heyman has addressed this by signing him to a full-time contract. And Wade concludes, well, now no one can complain about Logan Paul online now that he has a full-time contract. It builds to the hot tag to Penta, and then Dragon Lee hits a Tope Kun Hero, turns around, and in the best shot of the whole show, out of nowhere, into the screen comes a sprinting Bron Breakker to murder Dragon Lee, and the DQ is called at 9 minutes and 25 seconds. And then we got the replay of this spear with a drone shot of him running down the aisle. And my God, Dragon Lee to just stand there and have to wait for this oncoming truck to run him over. This was something else, this spear.
I mean, Breakker looked incredible here. Yeah. I mean, it kind of sucks for Penta and Dragon Lee to just kind of be, you know, essentially guys that were here to eat that coming off of the Bron Breakker loss. But, I mean, somebody has to take it, and, man, they looked awesome. The match itself I thought was just okay. Action was fine but kind of forgettable, but I love Breakker in the post-match here.
Yeah, so this prompts Adam Pearce to run down, and he's screaming at Breakker, and they shoot this where in the background you're seeing Reed go to the top and hits a tsunami on Penta. So Pearce runs in to admonish him as Breakker then spears Lee. So Pearce looked like a total idiot here. And Pearce loses it and yells, "I'm sick of this shit." And he grabs Bron Breakker, which is an important part of the story. And then Breakker grabs Pearce and has to be pulled off. Heyman tries to defuse. And as they're going to the back, Logan Paul is casually telling Adam Pearce to please stop because he's going to kill you. You need to stop. And they replayed this spear over and over again. Penta and Lee are being checked in the back as Javon Evans checks in on them. So it looks like Javon will be partnered up with these guys. And Breakker is in the back. Pearce follows him. He's screaming in Bron Breakker's face and suspends him indefinitely. And Heyman calls it a big mistake on Pierce's part because, Pierce, you put your hands on Bron first. And Michael Cole reacts to this by saying, he's right. Could this be the start of the fall of Adam Pearce?
I guess it could. It could, yeah. Yeah.
Pierce, I hope we get a lawsuit angle. That's what.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's way more Pierce in all of this. More Pierce like standing up to Bron Breakker, who like is sort of like this generation's Brock Lesnar, than we've seen in a long time, at least, you know. And so I almost felt much in the way that like Nick Aldis has sort of like gotten almost too involved in some of these segments. I almost felt like they were setting Pierce up for something bigger than just the typical GM role. Well, we got something better than Adam Pearce in a match. We got Adam Pearce in a potential lawsuit, which is going to be tremendous storytelling, I'm sure, in the weeks to come. So what does this mean? Breakker taking some sort of leave of absence? What do you think?
I guess this could keep him out maybe till the Rumble or something like that. Unless this is a reason to keep him out of the Rumble. They don't mm-hmm. want to put him in the Rumble. That could be a reason that they don't want him in it for a reason and hold him off till Chamber or something like that. I guess that could explain that as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Do we get an Adam Pearce match out of this?
No, I don't think so. No. I think he could take, obviously, like, you know, some moves here and there, but I don't really see a match. No.
There was years ago when it was early in the Roman Reigns heel run that they promoted all SmackDown long a match with him and Adam Pearce. And that I remember that show did like a really good number, just the tease of Adam Pearce doing a match with Roman Reigns. But
but in this,
I don't know if that's really necessary here. But
yeah, like
I see this more as like this is going to be Pierce's job that is at stake of some sort.
Man. Potentially. Angle. But I think we're at a good level now where like these GMs are very involved in the show, but they're not necessarily like such focal parts of these feuds, and certainly not being promoted like to be in matches. I think that's a thing of the past that I'd rather keep.
What if he gets demoted, and then the member of the board of directors, the final boss, nominates a new general manager for Raw. We get
Are Ava. You speaking of, our favorite best and worst of repeated mention?
Could be.
Yeah, could be.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
So no Buffemi video once again. And then Jackie interviews Gunther. And he is disgusted that AJ would slap him last week. And he's really trying to put over that he is the greatest wrestler in the company today. And he is the man that made Cena tap like a little bitch. AJ should worry what happens to him after the bell rings tonight as our prelude for this match.
Before this match, did you see this new Triple H ad for WrestleMania in Vegas?
I saw it already before. I hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, so lame. I'm sure most have seen it. It's, they got a bunch of their like dial a celebrity TKO fan favorites to, they're all pitching to be part of WrestleMania, and Paul Levesque can't be bothered. He doesn't have time for any of these goofs. I don't know. Some of these ads, it's so Paul Levesque heavy. It's a lot. I don't know who would watch this and have a desire to buy a ticket to WrestleMania. But yeah. I guess it works for some people just to see some of these people involved.
I've been a big fan in particular of like the sort of vignettes they've shot with the women sitting all around that dinner table. I think those have come across the best, better than the ones the men have. This is more their appeal to, I guess, a crowd that responds really well to B-level celebrities. But it, at this point, I mean, I spoke about this on the Best and Worst Of show. It's way too much, at least for the people that are watching week to week. And it's just incredibly obnoxious, I would say, more than anything, to see them like, man, continue to just circle jerk these celebrities in just, I don't know, like overbearing ways.
Yeah, it's like they reached out to like the Peyton Mannings and all these guys and were like, okay, we need a Cena video and we also need you to do this message. And they just got like a 2-for-1 from all these guys because there was a lot of crossover.
I imagine it's like, you know, Ari or Nick Khan like calling in the favors. They know some pretty famous people.
What if they didn't add with Mark Shapiro instead?
Well, then I might go. I might buy a ticket myself.
I like the sound of that.
So we go to the main event of AJ Styles, Gunther, and a lot of time given to this match. Styles is using his own chops before he gets one fired off on him and he rolls off the top of the turnbuckle to the floor. And AJ is attacking with leg kicks to the hamstring that they're focusing on and going after the leg throughout the match. Gunther just gets his own chops in. He does the "you can't see me" taunt at AJ, and AJ responds with 3 consecutive dragon screws. And then Gunther grabs him by the wrist for a rainmaker, which AJ ducks and hits a Pele kick and goes right into the first of 3 calf crushers in this match. I thought this was a really well done like story that they told with the weakening of Gunther's leg as the setup for the calf crusher. And with Gunther, much like the Moxley deal, like you believe this guy can tap in these submission spots. As protected as he is, you have that believability that he could tap out of nowhere. So he escapes the first calf crusher after reaching the rope. So Styles leaps from the apron and almost like loses his balance, like landing on top, and then snaps Gunther's knee on the rope and proceeds to hit a springboard somersault leg drop onto the knee. Usually it's always the 360 or the 450 that he does. And this was a cool alteration, landing on the knee itself. Then the phenomenal forearm gets sidestepped. AJ lands in the rear naked choke, but rolls out on top to escape that. And some of Gunther's lariats like just took this guy's head off. It looked great. Gunther slaps AJ and then gets rolled into another calf crusher. This time Gunther drives his head into the mat to break free, hits him with the big shotgun drop kick. But AJ responds, getting him in the third calf crusher, rolls him into the center of the ring. And they had to shoot this one pretty perfect in order to get this finish over, because AJ just all of a sudden lets go of the calf crusher and thinks he's won. And the referee is all confused because he has not seen the tap and explains to referee Alicia Taylor the match will continue. With his back turned, Gunther hits a low blow and powerbombs AJ to win in 17 minutes and 53 seconds. And the replay shows on the opposite side that the ref cannot see Gunther very visibly tapping. But as they always say, you don't let go of the submission until the referee tells you to. MMA 101. But if we're doing a match that was designed to bring this back, first of all, what did you think in terms of that?
I didn't like the finish. Obviously, I know why they did it. They want to have AJ look like he's somebody who's capable of tapping Gunther, as he, you know, says he was going to do. But I didn't. I thought there were other ways that you could have gone towards doing that. I thought like it. You basically, I think you want to end these matches having the matches feel somewhat complete. And when I say that, I mean, I think you at least want a pop for the finish, and this resulted in what was a rather flat finish, because it relied on the replay to generate the reaction rather than the actual spot itself. So I personally, like, much in the similar way that I think Mox and Kyle O'Reilly were able to build to multiple matches through something like this, I even preferred Mox simply attacking the ref to get out of the match, because number one, it's so uncharacteristic of Moxley. Not to say Gunther had to do the same thing, but Gunther would have a similar thing going for him if he did something like a similar fashion. And because that, like that, it would at least generate a bigger reaction from the crowd for the finish. This, I thought, basically gave you a flat finish because it relied on the replay. But I thought the match was excellent. You know, great sort of game of like AJ hunting for that submission finish. And AJ looked awesome. Some beautiful entries into the calf crusher. And I think there's enough life in this particular story that I want to see him try again to get that legitimate tap out next time. So, yeah.
I love this match. I thought it was, I thought these two had such terrific chemistry together, to the point that the finish did not bother me all that much, because ultimately they're trying to bring this back, and that's how they chose to get there. And to me, like, I'm perfectly happy to see them come back with this on a bigger stage, whether it's Rumble or wherever they go with this. Did you get a feeling of like where you would do this rematch? Because Saturday Night's main event feels really quick. Could you see this in Saudi in a couple of weeks instead?
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, I could also see this being maybe a longer term play. You know, if they wanted to revisit this at some point later on. But yes, I mean, it feels like there's a lot of unfinished business here that I could see this being immediately remade for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but I thought it was a really, really great match that these mm-hmm. two had. And yeah, they just really tried to get the finish over. There was a nice spot where Gunther is walking to the back and he sees the replay on the screen and he's just laughing and he just celebrates like this Herculean victory that he has just accomplished, while AJ is left dejected in the ring. And that concluded Raw from Germany on Monday night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, great crowd, great main event, and that probably will color my memory of the show as being a pretty successful one. Otherwise, I thought the show was, you know, like, fine. I thought Punk and Balor had a pretty good in-ring segment. I wouldn't necessarily say there was that much blow away, but there wasn't anything bad on the show. Like, other than the main event, maybe middle of the road is what I would say.
Yeah, I would say the Styles and Gunther was great, and the rest of the show, I mean, it had, yeah, they set up next week with like two title matches that they are programmed towards. You had, you know, Javon Evans on the show. A lot of standard. They had a pretty good crowd, I thought, overall. Like, they were fairly heated throughout
the show. I thought
they
had a very good crowd.
Yeah. You had like dueling chants in the main event, so it was not like they were just pro AJ, and you would have expected that with Gunther, obviously. And maybe we can expect similar next week with Balor and Punk. But there you go. That was Raw from Monday night, and they continue their overseas tour. They will be in London, England this coming Friday for SmackDown, with Drew McIntyre appearing, and probably a bit of a clearer picture once we start to flesh out the Rumble and whatever is going to fill out Saturday Night's main event, which we now have two matches with the four-way that will be determined after these qualifying matches Friday and mm-hmm. this women's tag title match. So probably a few more matches to come for Saturday Night's main event in Montreal.
Yep.
On that note, we'll say goodbye to everyone on YouTube. But of course, you can hit the subscribe button. We are here with reviews of Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown each and every week. But if that's not enough, if you want to get all of the news of the day broken down by the two of us and taking your questions and feedback, consider going XL, postwrestlingcafe.com. Sign up before February the 1st, and you will beat the price increase, locking your price for all of 2026. Last week, we had a Wrestle Kingdom 20 review with the two of us. We also did a live Royal Rumble watch-along for the 1990 and 1995 matches. That is at your disposal now, and the best and worst of show. Get it early, get it right now, over on the Cafe.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.